Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we would love for you to be a part of the broadcast. The toll-free number, 844-322-2742, is good in the U.S. and in Canada. We would love to hear from you. If you have a question or something you'd like to talk about, call now. If it's the top of the hour, 3, you're hearing it live, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about taking a stand this month. We've read several passages, 1 Corinthians 15, where we've received the gospel, and we take our stand on the gospel that saves us. We read Romans 5, 1 and 2 about gaining access to this grace by faith in which we now stand. So we're standing in the grace of God. Today we're going to take a look at 1 Peter 5, 12. And so Peter says this: by Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. So Peter wrote to explain and declare and exhort us about the grace of God. That's what his book is all about. That's what his letter is all about. And then at the end, he says, stand firm in it. So guys, let's kind of elaborate on what that means. So if you're to tell somebody today, Andrew, if you're to tell somebody today, Richard, to stand firm in the grace of God, what would you mean by that? Well, how would you explain that to somebody?
Yeah, well, first I would say to Peter, hey, that letter is nothing brief, five chapters. But that aside, guys, yeah, standing in the grace of God, it's something that we make a choice to do every day. We could fall back towards all kinds of error, or we could drive a stake in the ground and say, you know what, this is it. I know that I'm a forgiven person. I know that I've got a brand new identity. I know that I'm living under grace, not under law. I know that Christ lives in me and he is trustworthy. So I'm going to trust him. I'm going to do a free fall into Jesus and recognize that his character, that his life, that his spirit within me is enough, and I'm not going to be duped. I'm not going to be suckered into some sort of alternative way of getting the Christian life accomplished. Apart from him, I can do nothing. So I'm going to let him be my life and let him be my everything. I'm going to stand firm in this. Here comes the peer pressure. Here comes the denominationalism. Here comes the religiosity, the empty religion, the lifeless religion that is so often sales pitched in our direction. And I'm going to look at that, and then I'm just going to pull a 180 and continue to fix my eyes on Jesus. Let him be the author and perfecter of my faith, and agree that his grace is sufficient for me. So to me, guys, that's what it means to stand firm in the true grace of God.
Well, maybe we should just say amen and
move
on.
That's what
that
I think
was,
too.
That was pretty darn good, Andrew. I love that. And then we can talk about some of the specifics of what the grace of God has brought to us. Where our accuser and where religion tries to bring us down is on this area of forgiveness. You've got to do something in order to get right with God, to get back into fellowship with God, to do something. And in all of that, we're denying the grace of God, we're nullifying the grace of God, and we're living as if Christ didn't need to die for us at all. So we have to reject that and say, no, I'm standing firm in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then our identity, you know, we have to do something to stair step up that ladder and to gain, a greater status in God's eyes. And no, we have to say, I'm rejecting that, and I'm going to stand firm in the fact that God has declared me a child of God, and that happened by grace. And then we could look at righteousness and redemption and reconciliation and all of those things, and how the world system and how the religious system tries to steer us away from what we already have in Jesus. So we need to recognize what we have in Jesus and not let anybody deter us. Richard, how would you explain it?
Well, the two of you have pretty much covered it. But
This but is, you're going to say something.
I'm going to say something. That's why I'm here, is to say things. Uh-huh. No, it's Jesus. What did Jesus do? What has he accomplished? And what does that mean for me? Now, that means for me that there's nothing for me to do. I tried that path. I tried all kinds of things. And I could never, ever measure up to my own weak standards, let alone the standards of God. But Jesus provided all of that in his victorious life and death and resurrection, and he's given it to me. And I'm going to hold on to that. I don't care what anybody else says. There are fine points that I may learn about and change some things, but the fundamental issue is that Jesus was victorious. He has given his victory to me. I'm not going anywhere else. That's where I'm going to stand.
So if you've been declared the grace of God, you've understood what the grace of God is all about, let this word from Peter be an encouragement to you to stand firm in this grace of God. Don't let any teaching, don't let any person, don't let any philosophy try to move you away from Jesus Christ and all that he has accomplished for you through his death, burial, and resurrection. That's where life is. That's where life can be experienced to the full.
That's Basic Gospel. And friends, if you've just joined us, and if it is still the first half of the 3 p.m. Central Time hour, you are hearing the live broadcast. We want you to be a part of it at 844-322-2742. Now, of course, that number's good anytime, day or night. You can call it and pose your question if you're not hearing the live broadcast, but it is at 3 to 3:25 p.m. Central Time daily that we're on the air live. So 844-322-2742 if you're hearing it live or if you're hearing a delay. Richard, we've talked about it. Bob and I talk about it a lot. I'd love to get your input on this, why it's important for Basic Gospel to be on the airwaves and online every day with this New Covenant message.
Well, you're actually listening to why it's important. I mean, here's three ministers of the gospel. We're talking passionately about our churches, our ministries. We're not talking passionately about that at all. We're talking passionately about Jesus and what he has accomplished for us. You're going to hear that every day from Basic Gospel. That's all you're going to hear. However the questions are asked, whatever the issues are raised, whether it's relational or political or how do I, you know, deal with my money or anything else in the world, whatever topic, you know that you're going to hear an answer from us that involves Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the gospel of Jesus Christ, not Jesus Christ as the model for my behavior, but Jesus Christ, the one who enables my behavior, because no one else can. And it's vital right now. I mean, incredibly vital. Here in the United States, if you're watching the news or reading stuff online or whatever else, you know that you can't trust almost anything that is said.
Yeah.
It's lie after lie after lie, or denial after denial after denial. You got to leave that stuff alone and find your meaning and purpose in Jesus Christ. We're going to help you find that. That's why we do what we do. That's why we need to be supported. I'm not ashamed at all to ask for that.
Great reasoning, Richard. I appreciate that. Couldn't agree more. And friends, please join with us and help keep this New Covenant message of God's unconditional love and grace and life in the Lord Jesus Christ on the air and online. You can donate online at basicgospel.net. In Canada, it's basicgospel.net/Canada. You can make your contribution by calling 844-322-2742. You can use the Basic Gospel app, or you can use PayPal. Any way is a great way to support this message of God's love in Jesus Christ.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Fairfax, Virginia. Talk to our friend Chris. Hi, Chris. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Thanks. I wanted to ask today, to what extent does Jesus satisfy us? Not just save us, but satisfy us. I suspect that it's easy to get into trouble when the temptations of the world come and we think that Jesus just expects us to grit our teeth and be miserable and he's not really going to lift a finger to help us. But I wanted to see how maybe we don't just say no to sin, but we say yes to something else. We say yes to Jesus. So to what extent does Jesus satisfy us, and where can we see that in the Bible?
That's great. Yeah,
yeah, well, excellent question.
Yeah, I love that, Bob, because, you know, it makes me think, first of all, that we are friends of God. And you think about how friends or even so-called friends might fall short in the way that they meet our needs. We have expectations for friends, and they fall short of those expectations. And when they do, we're saying, God, hey, why won't you fix this circumstance? Why won't you do something about this? And God, of course, is not going to control another person and make them choose. So here we are saying, well, then, God, what is the answer? And I think, Chris, you know, whether it's friendships that fall short, or maybe it's a job that we had an expectation, oh, this job is going to meet my need, and I'm going to feel like $1 million, and I'm going to make $1 million, and everything's going to be just perfect after I take this job. And then 6 months into the job, you figure out, well, you're pretty much at the same spot you were 6 months ago. And then, you know, marriage. Some of us go into marriage thinking, well, that other person is going to meet my need. They're going to fix my problems. They're going to complete me, as we say. And, you know, we need to get back to the simple reality that everything really is made of glass, and at some point it might come shattering down in our experience. And only God is that rock, that firm foundation. You say, well, how? I mean, let's get practical. Well, everything from, you know, trying to get right with people and trying to get that sense of okayness from other people. If I'm stuck in people-pleasing, what's the cure for that? Well, the cure for that is the gift of righteousness. Romans talks about how we've been given the free gift of righteousness. You know, then you look at the friendship issue. What we're looking for is time spent, quality time. We want to be affirmed. We want to have company. We don't want to be lonely. And, you know, God may bring people into our lives where that need is met socially to some degree. But ultimately, we're going to discover one way or another that it is the divine presence of Christ himself living in us that is going to meet that need at the deepest core of our being. What do I mean by that? Well, we're not just looking at a historical figure from 2,000 years ago saying, I got to imitate, I got to copy what he did. No, we have the teacher, we have the friend, we have the comforter, the counselor, his presence in us 24/7 without interruption. So we're never alone. In fact, the entire Trinity is pleased to have us. And as I like to say, guys, I mean, wherever you go, there's four of you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you. So you're never alone. And in many ways, social needs can be met through Christ when others fall short. In many ways, our need for rightness and cleanness and acceptance and belonging, all of that is supposed to be met by God's design through us being one with Jesus. And we spend a lifetime learning this. I'm not saying that our feelings are fixed overnight, but certainly Jesus is the answer. He is always the answer. He is always enough. And we're going to spend eternity learning that one, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right on that, Andrew. Chris, does that answer the question? Or Richard, do you have any thoughts that you want to add?
Well, one of my favorite passages for this kind of question is probably a little strange to most of you. It's in Revelation 1. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's us. That's what we've been given. That's why we're satisfied in Christ. We're never satisfied in the flesh. And we don't even want to talk about that because that just leads to all kinds of excesses. But when we figure out spiritually who we are because of this indwelling spirit that Andrew just talked about, and allow that reality to permeate our brains and drive our wills and sanctify our emotions, then we know what satisfaction is. It's, again, it's all Jesus.
Yeah. Chris, one other passage that may be helpful to you, Philippians chapter 3. You know, Paul certainly talks about all the things that he had in his life. He gives his resume and he says, I count all of that as dung or as garbage in light of knowing Christ. And I think just the person of Christ is enough for us. And we get sidetracked by doctrine, by, you know, trying to say things correctly or make sure that we have the right beliefs in place. And we forget that the real source of everything is Jesus Christ himself. And I always think about that scene on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is on the shoreline, and Peter and Andrew are in the boat fishing, and he calls out to them and says, "Come and follow me." And there was something so powerful about his words, about his presence, about his personality, that they jumped out of that boat, left everything, and followed Jesus. Just the sheer magnetism of the person of Christ Jesus. And I think when we really encounter him for who he is and get our eyes firmly fixed, then everything within our souls just sighs this big sigh of relief and expresses thankfulness and just rests in him and finds that contentment the world could never give us. So those are some passages, Andrew.
Yeah, just one more that really came to mind as you're speaking there, Bob. You know, Philippians 4:19, it says, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And as you think about that word "all," I think that's the one word answer to the question you're posing, Chris. Certainly it takes us a renewing of the mind, and there's time in there, time and truth, and time and more truth. But the fact remains that he says, "My God will meet all your needs." So, you know, we never get to the bottom of those riches that are in Christ Jesus. There's never an end to that love, never an end to that acceptance, never an end to that righteousness and what that means for us personally. So, guys, we're on an adventure. We're on a journey, and it's a journey to discover the depths of all that we have in Jesus. And that's why, you know, it's so exciting to be in Christ.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, without question.
Well, Chris, thanks for your call today. We sure hope that helps, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again real soon. Okay?
Thanks, Chris.
Yep, sounds good.
Yeah. All right.
Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, everybody. Had an email question from David who says, "I really enjoy your program because it almost always leaves me with a sense of renewed hope." He says, "I called in about 6 months ago and you sent me a book, but I still have some hard issues I'm trying to address. My question is, what is the purpose of the church? In today's Protestant America, the purpose seems to range from the overly humanistic social justice gospel to legalistic, controlled, formulaic environments, reminiscent of Puritan New England. Many churches seem to mean well, but where should true believers go to find a real church home? Is it even possible?"
Yeah.
Well, that's a can of worms, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, guys, I guess, you know, first I would say to David, I think that he's got a keen observation there. He's shown some discernment that in many regards, we in the church world have missed the boat. We get involved in a social gospel. We talk about sacrifice. You know, we are convinced, well, we need to have less money and give it all away to be fulfilled. And then the prosperity gospel comes along as the opposite distraction. It says you need more money to be fulfilled. And so you've got the social gospel saying we need less, the prosperity gospel saying we need more, and then the true gospel saying that the secret of contentment is knowing Jesus Christ in any circumstance. And I think that's the purpose of the church, is to know Jesus Christ and to proclaim what it means to know Jesus Christ. And when that is our focus, we may not have a line a mile long outside the church door every Sunday, but the goal is not numbers. The goal is depth and quality, and when that is centered on Jesus, on his death, on his resurrection life in us, then we've got the proper focus. And, you know, nobody can take that from us. You know, it's so easy to be distracted, as I said, by this gospel over here or that gospel over there, which is no gospel at all. It's easy to find tantalizing distractions in today's world. But when you laser in on and focus in on the love and grace of God and what the death and resurrection means for you personally in terms of your new identity, in terms of being united with Jesus, well, then you'll never regret it. You will have the focus that God always intended So is that going to happen worldwide? I don't think so. I don't think the entire church, every congregation in the world is going to suddenly change their focus. So how do you find a great church? Well, you know, I think sometimes it takes a lot of discernment, a lot of time. You may end up forming a home group of your own. You may end up streaming online. You may end up traveling an hour once a month just to connect with those who have a healthy focus. There's lots of ways to approach this challenge, and we see it over and over again, Bob. We see people who are longing for a message that is rich in the grace of God and accurate in terms of the finished work of Christ. And so, you know, there's ways to connect with Basic Gospel. There's ways to connect with our church in West Texas, Church Without Religion. There's ways to search the network for a church in your area, Network 220. But in the end, sometimes you just have to really rely on the wisdom of God in your situation. If there's nothing nearby, Lord, how do I proceed? Do I initiate something? Do I forgive those who are teaching me wrongly and stick with it? Do I stay here for the fellowship because there's so much love in this place? You know, those are the decisions that only others can make in dependency on Christ.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, this whole church question, it's huge. I mean, this isn't just a small issue. It's one of the questions that is asked of us most often. Where can I find a church? Andrew, I know you hear that. You hear that as well. And we want that fellowship. We want to be connected to other believers. I think that's in our spiritual DNA.
Yes.
Why? Because we belong to the body of Christ. Now, we didn't do anything. I mean, we didn't sign a covenant membership agreement or any of those things to be a part of the body of Christ. God's Spirit just added us. We were saved individually. We were added to the body of Christ. So I think there's something inside of us, that spiritual DNA that says we want to connect. We want to be with other believers. And, you know, I think we put too much stock in what that should look like on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And forget about all the other ways that we can connect with other believers within the body of Christ and
yes.
allow God's Spirit to minister to us. And so just be open to how God is going to direct you in that regard. And I think you will be surprised at how he meets that need in your life and really encourages you and stirs you to love and good deeds through that fellowship you have with other believers.
I think we can squeeze in this question from Sally as we close the broadcast. She says, I heard a sermon about James 4:8. They said it's speaking to non-believers. Is it speaking to believers too? Keep up the good work, she says.
Well, here's what the verse says. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we don't see the Bible and the New Testament addressing believers as sinners. Why? Because we're not sinners. We are saints. We have a new identity. So what in the world does this passage mean, guys?
Well, James is a Jewish author, and he's writing a Jewish group of readers, and they're going to get this, and it's kind of like if the shoe fits, you wear it. And, you know, there's some times that this apostle and others are going to have an evangelistic heart. You think of Paul saying, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You think of John writing in 1 John when he says, hey, look, we just need to admit our sinfulness. Any one of us that's been denying our sin, let's admit it, and God will forgive and cleanse us. And here you see James doing the same thing. He's saying, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. That's salvation. We get a new heart at salvation.
Absolutely. Well, we love hearing from our listeners. And Andrew, thank you for being with us. And Bob and Richard, thank you for answering those questions as well. Friends, remember, if you have a question, call that same number anytime. We love hearing from you, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Parley, and everybody at the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Have a great weekend, or great evening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.